You're listening to Wisdom of the Ages, the show that taps into the many expressions of universal, ancestral, and personal wisdom to ignite evolutionary consciousness.
This is Anne Kate Sullivan, host of Wisdom of the Ages, and today we're going to do a little experiment. Years ago, I was teaching a color therapy class in Los Angeles, and this very interesting fellow comes walking towards me. I was sure it was a reincarnation of King Arthur. It might very well be. Anyway, Arthur Franklin comes walking up, and I realized I had found a fellow creator. There's some people that get together and the energies just get wild and fun and beautiful and colorful. And so he is my brother in innovation. So Arthur Franklin, welcome to Wisdom of the Ages.
Oh, thank you so much, Anne. Really appreciate being here with you.
Remember this? That was years ago. And we have created how many things since then?
Quite a few.
So, authors created light tables and I believe 75 different inventions that are they're actually for the next paradigm. I mean, we're beginning to step into them. I sleep with my crystal blanket. And what else is up your sleeve these days?
Oh, you know, and you know, when I took martial arts for many years, and my teachers, they wouldn't teach my sifus or my, you know, my instructors would not teach me the inner work until we learned the outer work. And it's quite interesting because the Kung Fu masters, the great ones, a few that I knew, they all stopped teaching the physical and they started teaching internal Kung Fu. And I think that that's where we're headed right now. It's the internal journey of our revolution, our internal revolution.
That's true. It's good because, you know, for something to happen in the external world, it has to take place inside first. I mean, our thoughts, our words create the reality that we live into. And so if we're in a war inside of our own heads, we're going to be in a war in the external world. And I'm kind of over that paradigm. I don't know about you.
Well, if there's any aspect of what we would call polarization, I would say that the world has done a good job at creating more of it. And I think that's really not what's in people's hearts. I think what's in people's hearts is how do we find a balance amongst the turbulent times that have been, I would say, created. And my question is what has it been created for?
I have a thought here. So I heard Bruce Lipton speak. It was actually a little while ago, but it keeps popping into my head. And he said, you know, a caterpillar is really committed to being a caterpillar. And you know, when it goes past this chrysalis and it thinks that's really strange that this caterpillar has done this thing. And so it just keeps really identifying as this caterpillar. And meanwhile, it has this urge to become this chrysalis and it fights it and fights it. And then it becomes this chrysalis. And even in the chrysalis, even during the metamorphosis, it's still really trying to identify with being a very small, fragile caterpillar. And eventually the imaginal cells become so powerful that it becomes butterfly. And then it has to fly. I think we're there as a humanity. But wait a second, before we go any further, I've got to take an ad break. So if you want to explore what it is to fly, stay tuned. We'll be right back.
The superpower experience goes way beyond the podcast. Listeners can connect with hosts and one another inside the Superpower Universe Plus membership. Members get access to high vibe connections, superpower masterclasses, and much, much more. Don't wait another moment to step into your superpowers. Go to superpowerexperts.com and sign up today.
Hello and welcome back. This is Anne Kate Sullivan, host of Wisdom of the Ages. And I have so many of these episodes. If you want to just keep exploring metamorphosis, you can go and listen to them on superpowerexperts.com/wisdom of the ages. Or now I've got a new one called Messages of Infinite Light, where we get to explore being avatars. Yes. Okay, so here we go. What do you think? Are we becoming butterflies?
The imaginal cells. I mean, let's activate those. You know.
What would that look like? I mean, I think I used to really be into color therapy. And what I loved about it, I'd look at the box and everybody would pick different color combinations. And to me, that was their individual and unique design. This is what they were meant to grow into. And so this was the story of their blossoming, the story of their becoming. And I thought that was just really neat. And I know you worked with that a lot too. But it seems to me now that there's an individual design, there's a family design, there's a cultural design, there's a global design, there's a galactic design, there's a lot going on. And we all have to imagine it together.
That's a great topic right there. Imagine it together. Imagine how all the trees connect with each other. Are they all the same breed, or, you know, are they all the same? They're not, right? They're different, and they're different geographical areas too. And yet they all get along with each other.
Most of them. I think some don't like each other. But William, my son, was pointing out that trees have a succession too, that birch trees and pine trees make way. They'll come in the forest first and then they fall. And their bodies, actually, their trunks make way for the hardwoods, the oaks and the beech trees and the ash trees. And these are the trees that grow. And of course, they also like energy places, like oak trees, like positive earth energies and so forth. And I think we can really learn a lot standing in a forest.
Oh, I enjoy it. I live looking down on the forest at nearly 8,000 feet.
So you're in Colorado, right? Up in the Rockies.
Up in the Rockies. My front window looks out at 10, 13, and 14,000 foot peaks across a span of a panoramic view.
I would expect King Arthur to be at the pinnacle, you know? So if King Arthur was coming off the mountain about right now, would he have Excalibur, or what would he hold right now in this world as we are transitioning between these ages?
I would say he'd hold a staff of light.
Mm. And what would that staff of light do?
Transmit frequency from being in the hand and touching the ground or touching someone that would help raise vibrational frequency, kind of like a tuning fork.
I sort of see it erasing shame, guilt, fear, control, slavery. Might be a little magical.
Yes, lower. Yeah.
I mean, but it's true, isn't it? Because as you raise your frequency, which can happen when you live way up in the mountains, is that as you start to get into these frequencies of love and higher consciousness, like, what happens?
Well, there's more oneness. There's more, the individual becomes unique and yet it's becomes very simplified. And you start to see how even the animals, I had this big buck come up to me within less than 40 yards, maybe 35 yards, huge rack. I mean, huge. He had to be about probably pushing 5 years old. I mean, big.
Wow.
And we just stared at each other. That was it. Just kind of, I even felt like he moved his head, like bowed at me a little bit, just a little nod. And I'm watching this happen with all these different creatures, you know. There's a woman that owns the property, and she has a Tibetan Mastiff. And this female dog, looks like a small lion.
Wow.
And she literally walks the perimeter of the property and then comes to my door, gives me a nod, says hello, and then off she goes. And she makes her rounds with the horses and the other deer. And if the deer are getting too close to the horses, it just, walks towards them, and the bucks and the deer just move away, or the elk move away. It's just interesting. I think that's really, truly what really inspires us is finding kind of a homeostasis, or this algorithm that's has tremendous peace and grace with it.
I think it's true. And it's interesting that, you know, King Arthur, back to the King Arthur stories, because I love King Arthur stories, but in some of the tales, that when Merlin meets King Arthur, of course, he appears as a stag, right? And he shows up to help Arthur realize that he's actually quite magical and multidimensional. In a lot of the tales, he just picks him up when he's a baby, so it's a lot easier. But anyway, what I think is important about fairy tales, myth and legend and fairy tales, is that when you go into the world of the bard, trees talk, animals talk, you can walk through walls, you can fly through the air, you can talk to aliens, there are no limits. There are no limits in that world, right? And then we come into this sort of 3D reality and we think, oh, we have to work, we're separate. It's a very different frequency. And what I'm starting to see is that with this frequency shift that's going on the planet, we're walking into something that's much more like a fairy tale. Would you say that's true?
I would.
In what way?
The way that when we get out of our own way and we just allow the environment to show us and teach us, whether it's a person at the supermarket, or it's a stag, or, you know, a little child that connects, all of that is there for us to just observe and create with. We get out of our head and into our heart and integrate the head and heart and the body, and the environment really shows us exactly what we need to see, or what we need to feel, or what we need to work through, or what we need to let go, or what we're resisting.
Yeah.
And the moment you stop resisting, all of a sudden grace and ease just enters into the space and allows freedom, and allows the freedom of the heart, right? Where you don't feel the contraction and the tension, right?
Mm-hmm. It still feels like there's a back and forth where there's like it's happening and the magic is happening, and we're in the fifth dimension, fourth, fifth dimension, and then it goes backwards, and we're kind of, I don't know, maybe that's just my own personal process, the waves coming in and out. But I do have a question for you about children and education, because a lot of the children that I have been meeting recently aren't stuck in 3D linear thinking. They're not really interested in traditional mindset, and they are demanding something else. And I have a feeling, you know, one of those children.
Yes. My just turned 9-year-old creative Sagittarian daughter. Yes, absolutely.
So what does she have to say about what's going on?
Well, she says the most important thing, Papa, is love.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll give you a taste of how she operates. So I'm on the phone with a client, and the client's having a bad day. Mm-hmm. Just edgy and punchy and just having a rough time. And she's really short with me, and I'm not tapping into it. I'm not getting in pulled into her frustration. And I just said, you know, it's important that you just sit on it for an evening, you know, sleep on it, drink half a glass of water, and get up in the morning and drink the other half and see if anything shifted for you. Sometimes it's just, we're tired, we're exhausted, mm-hmm. you know, and she was even kind of, I would even push the envelope and say she was a bit rude, even hanging up. And my daughter's listening, because I have it on. It's just my daughter and I, and I have it on, you know, on speakerphone. So I hang up, and she looks at me, and she walks up to me, and she grabs my hand. She goes, "Are you okay, Papa?"
No.
I said, "Yeah, yeah, I'm okay. She goes, Papa, dial her back. I want to have a talk with her.
I love it. Look at it, sort her out. Did you call her back?
I just said, no, let's talk to her in the morning. She goes, Papa, I want a report. That's what she said.
I want a report tomorrow to see how she's doing. Oh, that's really cute. So was she different in the morning?
Yeah, she was different in the morning. And my daughter was like, she goes, well, you know, Papa, you know that book that Anne gave us? And I said, yeah. And she goes, you know, the book Sparkles? She goes, I sent her some gold sparkles in the night before I went to sleep.
I love it. Everybody needs a little sparkle. It changes everything. That's perfect. That's so good. I mean, some of the most fun that I've had with you has just been, you know, those occasions. It's really wonderful when it can happen, when you're just hanging out and you've got a bunch of colors and there's really nothing else to do except you just, you know, in my case, I had children running around, right? And it was important to create something to entertain them. But it just starting to, I mean, I think what we were doing, author, is working with our imaginal selves. We might be, you know, some of the pioneer imaginal cell workers here. You know, we're like, what would happen if you just went into the world of red or pink, or in your case, yellow? I remember a yellow experience.
Dressed in yellow and tried to run in the morning in yellow? Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, because I had the idea back then that if you really immersed yourself in a color, that you would move into that essence. What I didn't realize is that sometimes you also move into the blockages, but then you move into the essence. I did an interview recently with a fellow named Anthony Tracy. He wrote a book called Rippling Waves, and he was talking about how the great artists can take their paint boxes or, you know, or just their colors, and they start designing other realities. Like they paint doorways that they can walk through. They create music that creates other dimensions. And so, I mean, I feel like in our exploration of color, sound, and consciousness, that's what in some cases started to open up. And it can be wild because it's like, oh, wow, this is multi-dimensional being. And I'm used to being linear. And all of a sudden, this is a lotus that's blossoming. And there's sounds and ideas coming out that maybe only the butterfly knows.
Well, you know, the lotus blossom is a very unique flower. It blooms in seeds at the same moment. And that's why it's used as the terminology, the flower of cause and effect.
Oh, tell me more.
So the cause and effect is of course one of the great laws of the universe in a physical reality. It's a truth. And it's just a truth. It's a simple way to say it. But the lotus is a representation. If you notice, a lot of the Buddhist teachings, and you even go into a lot of the yoga centers and whatnot, but they're not talking about the Lotus Sutra, which is interesting. Yet all the Buddhist teachings show the Lotus Sutra. But my primary point is, it's the teachings of cause and effect. And so if we use that as a ground basis of understanding, you know, then you see the other truths and the other religious teachings and the other philosophies and, you know, going back into Socrates and all these different types of teachings. It really teaches, you know, if you want to be treated that way, then treat that person that way. Therefore, that's, you know, that becomes that ebb and flow that you were talking about earlier, that allows life to kind of, you know, create that ebb and flow. of cause and effect of what we want to create, not necessarily the cause and effect of the negative impacts. We're looking for the positive impacts. So the more positive impacts, you know, my mentor said one thing very interesting. It's a quote that if you want to see where your future, where you are now, look at the causes you've made in the past. If you want to look at where your future will be, look at the causes you're making now. And I think it's a beautiful, you know, way to look at life. It helps to keep the doorway open for more greatness.
I think that's true. I mean, when I was doing a lot of color readings, I found that to be a truth, that you could see the challenge the person was in, how they had handled that challenge up until that time. And then, of course, they're being invited to evolve in a certain way. And that's all we're here to do anyway, is evolve. Now, I was thinking about something with the lotus blossom. Now, the root of the lotus blossom is in the mud. I remember
it's in the swamp.
Right? So it's deep down dark. Now, the root will always be in the murky darkness. And it's important for it to be in the murky darkness, because that's where its potent creative force lies. And what comes up and what we see on the surface is the blossom. But really, if we're talking about a whole individual, all of that is included, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, we need it to actually fuel us. So if you were to take a broad stroke of the planet and where it's at right now, we are in the, I believe, the metamorphosis of, or if you look at the lotus blossom, we're learning how to use all that tension or stress or, you know, those kinds of things that are causing these polarizations. And it's allowing us to purify our beingness, right, into a greater sense of self. I believe that that's what the real cause of this whole process is for all of us on some level, whether some of us see it or not. The important thing is, you know, what actions or causes and actions are we taking that's allowing ourselves to feel better about ourselves and the actions we're taking with others, right? And that's just going to give us more opportunity to be able to shine our light more, to shine our light brighter and stronger, mm-hmm. so that others can feel it.
Well, let's get esoteric for a minute. I always like to get a little out there and esoteric, even if it's fairy tale, I like it. So,
sure.
You know, I was really into the Mayan calendar, still into the Mayan calendar, even though it's finished, but I ran a ceremony in alignment with the Mayans, and was very aware that there was a frequency shift at that time. And I think the Mayans would have called that the time when the caterpillar became the sleeping caterpillar. And that we've been in this sleeping mode for a while, right? And in order to make this shift into fourth or fifth dimensional frequency, which apparently we're doing, and I mean, people can go check it out scientifically, what's happening in human resonance, you know, resonance field and all sorts of things. You can check it out. But in order to make this shift, I don't think it's possible to stay in division, duality, control, lies, manipulation, all that stuff. It just doesn't, I don't think there's a place for it.
No, it has to be shedded.
So maybe that's what we're doing. We're shedding the chrysalis. Maybe this is literally, I mean, it seems ugly in a way, but maybe it's not ugly at all. We're outgrowing this chrysalis, and we just haven't got the wings out quite yet. Or maybe a few of us have.
Have you noticed that you've been able to let go of certain things that you used to hold on to?
Yeah. And you know, one thing that I've really noticed recently is that I used to get hung up in stories about the family, stories about things that had happened, negative stories. And what I'm finding now is they dissipate. Like I'll start to say it. And then first of all, I think I catch myself going, why am I telling this again? But something new, it really feels like something new wants to be told. And so I'm much more interested in the new story that's being told than outdated stories that about people who are long, you know, long most for the most part departed. So the trajectory is forward. And if I'm thinking about a story that I want for my life, that I want for my children, that I want for my community and my world, I mean, I want freedom. That's just really what I want, the freedom to fly.
Absolutely.
What about you?
Well, I'm flying in the weight room.
I mean, are you?
I'm doing my flies with my dumbbell.
Oh, good.
So my arms, you know, become stronger. My legs become stronger. But I've noticed something very interesting. Over the years, I've done all kinds of sports professionally and otherwise. And what's really been amazing for me is with the right weight trainer, what I've learned is that everything inside my body has an opportunity to shift something. And it's just been extraordinary. So I noticed my emotion is stronger. My mind is clear. My mm-hmm. body is stronger. My attitude towards holding on to something just dissipates. It mm-hmm. just goes away. So that's my vehicle right now. And it's helping me. I mean, I do many other things other than weightlifting, but it's helped me really bring out more extraordinary characteristics of my own nature that wasn't really apparent to me until now. And I'm amazed. And so I think if each one of us can find something, it doesn't matter what it is, if it's painting, if it's walking, if it's yoga, if it's, you know, hiking, if it's biking, if it's skiing, whatever it is. And you use that as a temperament for your evolution, each person's evolution, then the old ways just don't hold us back.
Mm-hmm. It's and interesting that you're talking about embodiment too, because it's one thing that I've really noticed recently, and I've tried to do I think this also a Buddhist meditation where it's just conscious walking, just walk very slowly in the forest. And I'm just very aware of my body and the world that I'm finding myself in. There's something about slowing down because everything's going so fast right now that it's helpful for me to slow down. Sometimes just like lean my back up against one of those nice trees in the forest, just feel, I mean, they're already in fifth dimension anyway, so they can really help. So you just feel where they're hanging out and then just start moving forward again. And I think you do something too that's really quite beautiful. You have a chant that you do, don't you? I think there's a chant, this Buddhist chant that you do. I remember hearing you do it, and it was really quite beautiful. So I think, you know, when we go into color and sound and light and consciousness, we can really create the world that we're living into. And I think my friend Arthur Franklin disappeared into abstract frequency. He disappeared off the screen. So I'll just finish up here. You know, I just want to say that it's so fun to have friends over a long period of time, friends that you can trust, that you can relate to, that you can play, you know, get your sandbox and just create stuff with. And I think that sparkle, that fun that you have, inspires others. And so in this time of great change, you know, I mean, we're staying on the light side of this because I know there's a lot going on. Oh, here he is again. So we're going to bring Arthur back from the abstract frequency back into this reality. Isn't this fun? Arthur, I was just talking about how you like to disappear into abstract frequency. Oh, he's he went off again. So anyway, I'm going to conclude the episode here. But I just encourage you to link up with friends and family wherever they are around the world. Because like, you know, like I just did with Arthur, I'm in Virginia and he's in Colorado, but we can still link in at least for a brief period of time. And yeah, just let's step up. Let's, you know, get rid of this chrysalis and start exploring our wings and really embrace the idea that we can imagine a new self. We can imagine a new way of being together and thriving. We can imagine a new world together. So this is Anne-Kate Sullivan, host of Wisdom of the Ages. This has been fun. And that was Arthur Franklin. You can check out his tool. He's got many creations and tools and all sorts of things. I love his crystal blankets. And anyway, it's been fun. May many, many, many blessings to all of you who are listening. And yeah, lots of love. Many blessings. Bye.
Are you ready to discover your superpowers? Go now to superpowerexperts.com and take the superpower quiz today.